You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Third hour now upon us, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program's live broadcast for the evening of Saturday, April 26th. I'm James Edwards, and happy to be James Edwards. There's no one else on earth I'd rather be than the host of the Political Cesspool. It's truly an honor to be able to come here and talk with you every night in a very mainstream way. To have a mainstream media venue that talks about the interests of the dispossessed majority. We do it, and we're the only one. And that's an honor, you know, and it, I guess I had a bright idea that has flourished thanks to the fertile soil in which I've planted my flag. And folks, you all have made this show into what it is today, talking with Dr. Michael Hill, and a big round of applause for Dr. Hill. What a great way to wrap up Confederate History Month in that last hour. Such a great guy. But talking to him about the fact that it has now been, or will soon be, 10 years that the political cesspool has been coming to you. We sacrifice some, I guess, some indignities and some threats and name-calling and all that stuff, and we give up our Saturday night every week to be here with you, but we give up very little compared to the price that we hope will not have to be paid. Hopefully, people will come together and see that we are right about this thing, and we can reclaim America's destiny the way that it should be. A lot of people have had to suffer much more. I hope that that does not happen here, and that is why we do this work, to spare our children from that reality that comes inevitably when the third world swamps you. You cannot have a first world population with a third world population. I'll get it right here sooner or later. You cannot have a first world country with a third world population, or if you will. You can have diversity in multiculturalism or a first world nation, but you can't have both, basically saying the same thing. You look at the places where this has run its course, and it is not pretty. Whether it's South Africa, whether it's Haiti, I don't want that to be the future for my children, future generations of Americans, European Americans specifically. I fear that it might be. You know, we were talking about Detroit in the first hour with a very interesting guest, we'll say that. And he does do good work, and I don't know if he was afraid of coming on this show, and so he had to take a unique position on some of the issues and at least relaying his thoughts, but he does good reporting. Charlie LaDuff does good reporting, and if you'll watch his videos, you know, he's not going to mention race a lot, but he did mention it in his New York Times column that was in the paper today, and I thought it was fair. I thought it was, it wasn't Jared Taylor, but he did a damn good job in that, I think. You read it and you let me know what you think. And by the way, what do you think? Give us a call. You know, I'm here in the studio by myself this evening. Keith Alexander on vacation. Eddie the Bombardier Miller ran 26.2 miles today. Uphill all the way, according to Eddie. No, but it was hilly. Hilly terrain in Nashville. He ran 26.2 miles. And so he is definitely out with an excuse worthy of missing the show. If you want to give me a call, we'll try to work you on the show. 1-866-986-NEWS. It can be any topic. We might even do a little open mic time. I got a few things I want to say this hour, but if you call in, we'll try to work you on. 1-866-986-NEWS. News is the number, and I look forward to hearing from you. But talking about Haiti, talking about South Africa, talking about Detroit, talking about Memphis, when the demographics change and the culture changes for the worse, things get violent. Not our people creating the violence, of course. You know, our people are most often the victims of this. Not that you would ever hear about that in the media, but it's the truth. I don't want to see America become a great big fat Detroit from Maine to Southern California. Southern California, more like Mexico, but you know what I'm saying. I don't want all of America to be a third world country, and I don't want anybody to suffer. You know, I don't want the blacks of Detroit to suffer, but unfortunately, until they take a little responsibility, you know, there is going to remain problems. And I don't, you know, why would they take responsibility? They get coddled by the government. They get all of these subsidies, and they get this victim mentality that gives them basically a get out of jail free card. Why would they want to change? They're coddled. Now, there are, that's not to say all of them. I mean, certainly people like Jesse Lee Peterson and Zola Foster, and there are, you know, very good and decent black Americans. And yes, there are some no good white Americans. To every rule, there's exception. I shouldn't have to say that, but I want to be fair. But, you know, we've got a problem here, folks, and shouting obscenities at free-thinking and open-minded people like myself who are trying to debate these very serious issues in the court of public opinion is not going to solve the problem. You can call me any name you want. It certainly doesn't mean it's true, but it's not going to better your lot in life, nor is it going to make me feel at all uncomfortable with the work that I do, because I believe in this work and it's growing. You know, what we're doing here is growing. You know, my book was published 4 years ago now. I mean, where are the years ago? It was published 4 years ago, and despite that, it continues to reach people, just like this radio show each and every Saturday night and throughout the week in syndication and via the archives. We reach people all around the world, and my book is actually still getting good reviews. With Obama's reelection in 2012, it got another four-year lease on life, I guess. Racism, schmacism, how liberals use the R word to advance the Obama agenda, and it tackles this culture of denouncing anyone who is white as a racist, and it anything that white people do or say that minorities, you know, want to call the hurt feelings police on is racism. It really just turns that on its head. It makes a mockery out of that institution and those tactics, as it should. And it's reached a lot of people and continues to do so. And I'm going to share with you a review that came in a couple of weeks ago on Amazon.com, where you can get the book. Of course, you can get it on our website too. We're going to do that when we come back. And we got a caller, I believe, from Texas. And we got a lot of other stories I want to cover this hour. So stay tuned. It'll happen.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. Again, if you want to fill in the gap left by Keith Alexander and Eddie the Bombardier Miller tonight, give me a call, 1-866-986-NEWS, 1-866-986-NEWS, and Patrick from Texas has done just that. What's on your mind, Patrick?
I was wondering if you'd mentioned the court decision against affirmative action by the Supreme Court saying it's okay for states to disallow unfair preferences.
I had read about that. I haven't read about it in enough detail to really give you a firm assessment. You know, of course, some of this had been brewing out of Michigan going back, I guess, until about 2006, it seems, where they were turning over race-based preferences, truly racist preferences, if you want to go by what the word should mean. But up in Michigan and affirmative action, so on and so forth, particularly with admissions into college. But why don't you educate us all, myself included, Patrick, with what you know?
Well, what they're saying is that you cannot discriminate against the blacks because of race-based quotas. They have to give everyone in meritocracy an equal shot at the opportunity to get into the spots in schools, which to me seems like a completely fair way to do it.
Right.
I don't have a single problem with that.
No, we've talked about it forever on this show. One of our, you know, we got a few sayings. You can't have a first world country with a third world population. No retreat, no surrender, no apologies. What's another one that we talk about? Oh, equal rights for all, special privileges for none. And, you know, I am going to be fair enough in saying that, you know, certainly if it comes down to two candidates in this hypothetical situation and the black one was just vastly superior in intellect and in experience, whatever the standard of measurement you want to draw from, then the white candidate, well, then yes, he should get the job. I have no problem with that whatsoever. That's fair. That's truly rewarding excellence. What you have, I don't see how anyone could argue that forcing businesses and forcing universities to admit lesser qualified candidates solely because of the color of their skin is anything other than racist. You know, they want to say it's racist for us to say that whites should have equal rights, but it's not racist for, you know, affirmative action. It's racist. You know, we're not talking about institutions that don't allow blacks for no reason whatsoever. We're talking about, you know, blacks that are getting in or other minorities that are getting in despite not measuring up to snuff. And
you
so,
interesting.
Go ahead.
You know who takes biggest advantage of affirmative action quotas in colleges? Native Africans.
Africans? Yeah, you're talking Native about indigenous Africans.
Oh, it's amazing. They just blow them to pieces. Oh, here's a Civil War trivia fact for you.
Okay.
What's unique about the great state of Texas?
Okay, state of Texas. It's going to have something to do, I'm guessing, with the number of countries it's been, right or wrong?
Incorrect.
All right.
We never lost one battle for the Yankees.
Ah, how about that? Well, they're very good, very good.
When if only Galveston, our schoolmaster, ran their artillery at the ship and they had to turn back and run away.
Well, hey, listen, I'm a big fan of Texans going back. You know, we talked, of course, about the Battle of San Jacinto, which was fought in, I guess, last week in 1836. And, you know, Texas has a very rich history still to this day. You know, Texans are known, whether right or wrong, as being a little more rough and tough. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't know how much longer Texas is going to survive, or any of us for that matter, if we continue to be swamped by illegal immigration. But, no, Texas has a very rich and proud history, and I salute Texas.
Do you know Davy Crockett's last words? Darn, there are a lot of Mexicans here now.
We got a true comedian. You know, Davy Crockett was no had no shortage of quotes. And Davy Crockett, you know, another great, great American, died there fighting at the Alamo. You know, how many, you know, you want to talk about people who were outmanned and outsupplied but never outfought. You know, the defenders of the Alamo. My God.
Well, my family was there. Not at the Alamo, but we were at San Jacinto. We kicked some ass.
Well, God bless your family. And, you know, it just goes
to Landon Brady.
It just goes to show that there is a case to be made for genetic predisposition. So you're telling me your family
from Georgia and Texas, we got burned out by Sherman. A lot of us ended up back with the old family back in Texas.
And then, but you've got that history and I've got mine. And here you are, the descendant of those proud people, listening to this show. I mean, that cannot be a coincidence.
Oh, no. Mama raised me right.
Amen, buddy. And thank you for the call. And Davy Crockett, another great quote. Y'all can go to hell. I'm going to Texas. And, you know, I can sympathize with that with regards to the rats in elected office today. Thanks.
Good day.
Thanks for the call, Patrick. I appreciate it. We were talking about the book, and I'll take a moment of self-indulgence here, personal privilege if I could. Despite being published 4 years ago, as I mentioned, Racism Schmacism continues to positively impact people all over the world by giving them the tools needed to defuse these baseless accusations of racism, which is, of course, nothing more than a socio-political nuclear bomb intended to keep largely responsible people from frankly discussing serious issues. And it's an honor to still get mail to this day from folks who claim that my book has been an eye-opener for them in some way. This following review, for instance, was just posted a couple of days ago over on Amazon.com, where the book is available, as well as our website. James Edwards, a well-known activist in Memphis, Tennessee, makes news again. An excellent personality on and off the radio. This Christian gentleman has written an excellent book. Essentially an attack on the plague of political correctness, Edwards maintains a positive mental attitude while taking on the Orwellian forces of progressivism, knocking them off one at a time. This is the wake-up call that conservatives and even temporarily deluded liberals need. Examples include the hilarious, if it wasn't true, account of a mayor forbidding his police officers from eating bananas on duty because it offended black people. It was racist for them to eat bananas in public. When does it end? We often want to put our heads in the sand to avoid such queries. Not so for this brave man. Brave young man. I'm still being called young. That's good. This book would be great over anyone's mantle. Thank you, James Edwards. Well, thank you to the person that wrote that. I knew my wife was smart, but I didn't know she could write that good. Just kidding. Wasn't her. We work hard, though, here at the Political Cesspool, folks, to serve as champions for right-thinking people like this gracious fellow who had bought the book. And whether it's on the air, at public appearances, or in the pages of a book, you can count on us to advance our flag in the court of public opinion. And as I said, you know, this book is still timely. If you've not yet done so, you can go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and autograph your copy, even an autographed copy, if you would want that. Don't want to devalue the thing. Order it today, racism, schmacism. When we come back, I talked, of course, tonight about the fact that the American Renaissance Conference is ongoing. A lot of my friends, a lot of Political Cesspool fans up there. And again, folks, I'm sorry I couldn't be with you. I barely made it to the studio one time tonight. I got here just a few minutes before going on air. I got a growing family. What can I say? I'm not just fighting this battle here on the air. I'm fighting it in the bedroom, too. And I got another child on the way, and my wife, a delicate little thing. Morning sickness and her don't take well together. And so I am at home this weekend rather than being at Amran, although I am there in spirit. And looking forward to hearing all the news and the reports from the American Renaissance Conference. But anyway, when we come back, Jared Taylor, the editor of American Renaissance, did a great video this week during which he asked a very simple question to a field of Republican candidates in Virginia. I'm going to tell you the story when we come through on the other side.
Claiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Always great to hear that commercial voiced by the late, great Bill Rowland. You can still hear his voice in the broadcast archives, and folks learn from that man, one of the wisest men I ever knew, and one of my very best friends in life. And you still get to hear him every night on the show in that CFCC ad. And, you know, we take our lumps. It's still hard to think of the fact that he's gone. He died a year ago, February, so it's been, I don't know, 14, 15 months now. It's, you know, I miss him. And you take these trials that life throws your way, and you do your best to move forward. And I'm looking again at some of the ratings tonight, and again, the political cesspool at this very moment is in the top 10 most listened to radio broadcasts in the country right now online. And that, of course, again, folks, as we always say, doesn't count or even factor into account the number of listeners who are tuned in on the AM frequencies here in Memphis and in the other markets that syndicate us on the AM and FM terrestrial radio stations. And, you know, Bill Rowland, God knows, had a big hand in that growth. I look at what you've done with this show, folks. You know, I had an idea. God bless me to give me a venue with this network and the great Bushman family to exercise my freedom of speech. You, though, people, the listeners of this show are the ones who keep this show on the air, and I'll never, ever forget it. Jared Taylor, editor of American Renaissance, last Saturday, or rather this Saturday, today, Republicans are holding a primary to choose the party's candidate for Virginia's 10th congressional district. On April 13th, five of the candidates were at a town hall meeting where they spent an hour and a half bragging about how conservative they were. When it was finally question time, Jared Taylor asked a question about immigration. The answers were such rubbish that one frustrated member in the audience shouted that 70% of non-whites vote Democrat, so it's crazy to keep letting them in. He got a gratifying round of applause, but the candidates carried on like lemmings. This is why the great Sam Francis called the Republicans the stupid party. We say they're not stupid, they're just sociopathic. And maybe a little stupid, too. Let's listen. Let's listen to Jared Taylor now.
Hello, my name is Jared Taylor, and I'm from Oakton. And until 1965, we had an immigration policy that ensured that most immigrants were from Europe. Now, that changed in 1965, and now we have immigrants from all around the world. The largest number that have come now are Hispanics. And according to the Census Bureau, Hispanics are expected to be an outright majority in this country by about 2065. And they're looking forward to that, of course, increasing numbers and increasing influence. I'll get to a question. My question for you is, why is it considered good, healthy ethnic pride for them to look forward to the power that comes with majority status, whereas it would be considered wrong and racist for whites to be concerned about an immigration policy that is reducing them to a minority?
We believe we can begin with you, Rob.
Thanks. That was an easy question. I think America is a land of opportunity and freedom, and I think immigrants, many of whom come here legally and obeying the rule of law, should have, you know, all the benefits of our great country. I'm not really concerned about different groups, Hispanics, having a majority status, as long as everybody coming is following the law. We can't give exemptions to people that break the law and then give them amnesty, and I'm absolutely opposed to amnesty of any sort. We need to secure the borders and take this step by step, and I think that's really the only way to tackle this problem.
Stephen Hollingshead.
I agree that our immigration policy should be colorblind.
You think it makes no difference where they come from?
No, I don't think it makes a difference where they come from. I think it makes a difference. You know, it's a rule of law issue, right, if they follow the law. And, you know, we have plenty of laws that aren't being enforced on this issue and need to be enforced when folks are arrested for other crimes and then not deported. You know, if that's a problem. But no, I think that the I think that our law should be colorblind. There's a reason that Lady Justice, she wears a blindfold.
Howie Lind.
Let's be brutally honest. Why hasn't the immigration system been fixed? Republicans, i.e. Chambers of Commerce, big business, they want cheap labor. Democrats want votes, so therefore there's no political will to fix this. This week I was knocking on doors in Sterling, knocked on a man's door, gave him my little intro, and he shut the door and he came out and he stood there for 15 minutes chewing my ear off about the fact that he has been a small business owner for many, many years, landscaping business, but was basically shut down, put out of business because he was playing by the rules. He was bidding on all the contracts with, you know, legal people, as opposed to a lot of competition that had illegals. He was outbid on all of them. He said, he's pointing his finger at me, nobody talks about that. Why don't anybody talk about that? I said, well, that's a great point. I'll talk about it. But to your point, I'm colorblind. I'm not saying which segments should come here or not, but I'm, again, strong favorite. The strongest proponents of legal immigration are the people that came here playing by the rules. Thank you.
Bob Marshall.
In the 1970s, when both my wife and I worked for Congressman Bob Dornan, Kathy was a caseworker. She dealt with the INS. The rule at that time was you could come to the United States if you had a job and you had to have relatives here to back you up in case you lost the job. I am more concerned, and I think we should return to that, I am more concerned about the values that are held by immigrants rather than the country of origin. If you can, you know, believe that there's a God who is a creator who gives us rights, and rights don't come from government, you can come from a Nigeria, you can come from Bolivia, you could even come from the Soviet Union. We have immigrants from, well, it's not the Soviet Union anymore. You have to have the values rather than the geography or the individual racial background.
70% vote Democrat. That's how that should be enough for all of you.
Well, but it is—it becomes a complex issue right at that point, doesn't it? 70% of 10% of the vote, and perhaps evolving. And George W. Bush had a much larger percentage of the Hispanic vote than succeeding Republican candidates. And also, you're dealing with a population coming from Latin America that is largely Christian, religious, family-oriented, work ethic. Well, and then there's the rub. Let me see. I think we've got time for one more question before we get on to closing.
So there you have it, folks. There you have it, folks. There is your conservative Republican Party, all speaking with one voice, and it is damn near that voice of the Democratic Party. The only thing they're saying is, yes, let's continue to swamp the country, but let's just do it legally. Whereas the Democrats would say, let's just give them all amnesty. Well, here's the thing. Now, I will agree to some extent that, yes, if you are going to allow immigration, let it be legal and let it be people who have a work ethic and a Christian background. But no, I mean, these folks, by and large, first of all, what was supposed to have passed as the melting pot. You always hear about the melting pot. Well, it's not a melting pot anymore. It's gone down to a dull simmer because they are not assimilating. These gracious illegal aliens, or whether they come legally or not, they're not wanting to become Americans. They don't want to learn English. They don't. Listen, I can tell you neighborhoods here in Memphis, Tennessee, they are not assimilating. They are colonizing. Write it down, folks. Not assimilating, they are colonizing. And their neighborhoods, the neighborhood where my grandparents grew up here in Memphis, Tennessee, where they had my mother, where I spent some of the best days of my childhood, my grandparents' old neighborhood, everything there is in Spanish. The signs outside of the local public school is in Spanish. This is an American public school. The sign is in Spanish. All of the businesses are Spanish. They speak Spanish. They're not Spanish in terms of origin. I mean, they're not European, but you know what I'm talking about. They're Mexican. They're Mexican. Everything's in a different language other than English. You know, these aren't Americans. They live in America. They treat this country as a third world flop house. Well, they're not Americans. And whether they came here legally or not, this is how they're acting. And I would imagine, since, you know, a wide swath of Shelby County, Tennessee is this way, that they can't all be illegal. Surely there couldn't be a whole little village of Mexican neighborhoods, and they all be illegal, though I'm sure some of them are legal. And they're not voting Republican. If they vote at all, they're not voting Republican. You can bet your bottom dollar on that. And this is the thing. I mean, you can have all of this politically correct gobbledygook that you can stomach, and I can't stomach much. I mean, that clip alone was more than enough, but it's suicide. It's just stupid. They're not going to vote Republican. The Republicans are, as politically correct as they want to be, and they want to be. They're never going to outpander the Democrats for these people's vote, and they're never going to get that vote. It's never going to be much better than 30%. It could probably get worse. Talk more about it on the other side.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson, and it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
It's been a long time since I carried an hour by myself, and I do enjoy it. You know, one of my talents is that I recognize the benefit and need, certainly, of surrounding myself with talent. And I have done that. And one of the reasons this show is so good is because we are a sum of all of our parts. You know, Keith Alexander, Eddie Miller, Winston Smith, the late Bill Rowland, and the other people who have played a role, Scoop Stanton. The people who have played a role in making this show happen on air. It's been great to work with them, and that's one of the reasons this show is what it is. But at the end of the day, I guess the buck's got to stop somewhere, and it stops right here with the founder of the program. And I'm actually texting Eddie the Bombardier Miller right now, and it's hard to talk to you and text at the same time. So what's going on is that Eddie just got back into Memphis, and he's been co-hosting this show for 8 years, and he just texted me asking for the call-in number so he can call in and tell us about the marathon, and I do want to hear about that. So I'm texting him, and hopefully he'll call in and let us know how it went today. Apparently he made it back home. We will see if he finished the marathon. I think that he did. 26.2 miles. Anyway, that last segment, though, yeah, I mean, my God, so nauseating. Will the Republican establishment ever learn? It was such a heartfelt and sincere and important question that Jared Taylor asked in that last segment. You know, why would we want to have an immigration policy like this? And you heard all of the politically correct answers. Every single one of those five candidates running for that congressional seat in Virginia said the exact same thing. I mean, where's the choice? Where's the diversity in that? And it's going to go bad for America. You know, one thing's for sure is that these Republicans won't continue to be elected. these guys that were running for office, they can forget about it. If they get their dream with regards to immigration, they'll never have to worry about running because they ain't going nowhere. Maybe they win a Republican primary, maybe they don't, but they'll never win a general election if it keeps going the way it's going. Folks, there's a lot of other articles on our website this week that I want you to take a look at. I register my opinion and my take on those horrible murders in Kansas City a few days ago. Be sure to check that out. A couple of articles from Dr. Kevin McDonald, another video from Jared Taylor, How to Lose a Nation, directly dovetails into the immigration-related question that we featured in the last segment, and others. All of it available at thepoliticalcesspool.org. In addition to being a top 10 rated radio show, our website is in the top 0.1% in terms of internet traffic. Of all the websites on the internet, we're in the top 0.1%. Thank you, folks, for making that happen. Eddie the Bombardier Miller, now I finally got a co-host. 10 minutes to go on the show. There he is. Hey, welcome back to Memphis. Tell us all about the run. I made mention of it a couple of times extensively at the opening of this show. 26.2 miles in the hilly terrain of Nashville, Tennessee at 67 years of age, and you made it, and you're back here in Memphis tonight, right?
Hey, got the medal. Got two medals to show for us, some boy. Hey, well, by the way, it's not two marathons. It's four. I've done four in a 16-month time span, but that's okay.
Well, I mean, but two of the 26.2s.
Oh, four, all four were 26.2.
Oh, my. Well, that's like 100 miles.
Well, what would you expect from somebody that's, that gave birth to you? You know, hell, I'm your daddy. I'm your real daddy. I guess I wasn't supposed to slip up and tell the people that on the
Yeah, you know, some secrets stay in house, you know, but.
It was, I tell you what. I will have to say, I have to toot my horn a little bit. I did better than I thought I was going to do. I attribute that to great – I trained really hard, you know that. I had some of the finest coaching in the world. Coach Kevin Leathers, the national coach of St. Jude, Coach Barry Robertson at Breakaway Running. And I couldn't have done it without them. They coached me, and I kept thinking, you know, everything they told me to do. I laid out my strategy perfectly. People were past me, up to about mile 17, 18. And after about mile 18, old Pawpaw started reeling them in because they shot their wad too soon. But coming back, James, I told you, the reason I got in so late, they're working on this is typical government. They got traffic shut down on the hottest day we've had so far this year at, you know, 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Interstate 40, a major east-west coast artery.
Yeah, it's the biggest one in Tennessee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we get there, finally, after an hour and a half, I had to cut my motor off. I got out and got some stuff to eat and drink. Everybody else was. Got up there. You know what they're working on? They're working on a secondary overpass that carries, it's just a county road. It didn't even have anything to do with I-40.
It was a government conspiracy to keep you off the show tonight is what it was.
It sure was. And I book on down, and there was another wreck about 20 miles later. And then I got within 20, 22 miles of Memphis, another damn wreck. So I said, the heck with this. I went across the interstate the first turnaround, went back and come across I-59, come across State 59 going over to Mason. You probably know where that is.
But I know where Mason is, sure.
I finally got home. But
you could have, if you were in Mason, you should have stopped at Bozo's Barbecue and got you a little victory meal.
Well, I considered that, but I've tried to come in to the last minute. It feels like it just was not meant to be, by God.
Well, I got the message from your wife earlier. I had a feeling you'd be out tonight. I mean, hey, first of all, let's not sully this segment with talking about the deficiencies of government. Let's let this be about the... I mean, my God, folks, 67 years old, 26.2 miles in the hilly terrain of Nashville, Tennessee, on a very hot day. It was hot today. It was in the upper 80s in Memphis, as Eddie said, one of the hottest days of the year. Round of applause for Eddie the Bombardier Miller. God bless you, and it was a good cause, too. I mean, you're fighting for to raise money for the children stricken with catastrophic illnesses like cancer. And I mean, you know, a guy that can run 26.2 miles, a guy that believes in a cause so much to do that to his body, and then come back, you know, after running that and driving 3 hours back to Memphis from Nashville to still call in. Salute to Eddie the Bombardier Miller tonight, folks. I want everybody to put a right hand to their forehead and give a salute to the old Bombardier tonight.
And you know what, James? Tell me, old Papa, get a little political thing in there. How many dollars has who raised the most money for St. Jude Children's Hospital? The political cesspool or the SPLC?
That's right. I mean, you know, we do the best we can.
Our donors, listen, I raised right at $3,000 last December for the December marathon here in Memphis. Got iced out, but I ran it.
I'm glad you mentioned that, and I don't mean to interrupt, but that's actually one of the reasons why you were up in Nashville today running that marathon, is because it was a major ice storm that hit Memphis the night before the St. Jude Marathon was to take place here, the main St. Jude Marathon here in Memphis, where St. Jude is based, in December, and you got iced out, and so this was sort of a makeup thing, and you were up there in Nashville running it today, the same length, 26.2 miles. But yeah, I mean, here we are trying to scrape nickel and dime together to keep our own show on the air, and we still will raise money for something like this. And the SPLC, what are they raising money for?
$3,000. Hey, the political system is responsible for raising the lion's share of $3,000. Folks, if you knew how we struggle with cesspool, $3,000 would run us what, 6 months? I mean, it's pathetic. But you know, hey, I got a call from I got it late from the Copperhead. He called and congratulated me. Said give me his prayers with me. Some other people called. I don't even know who they were, but you know my phone. You know what kind of crappy phone I've got. But I was so nervous and wound up last night. Couldn't sleep. I was just pacing to the hotel like a caged lion. I wanted to run it last night. I just cannot wait to hit that start line this morning.
Yeah, I talked to you last night. You were about to take a sleeping pill so you could take the edge off and wake up fresh this morning.
And I got up at 3:00 and because I just could not sleep and still got there almost late. Lo and behold, it was another traffic jam, plus I got lost. It just seemed like it was just fate was working against old Pappy, but old Pappy overcame with the prayers of all the political people, the political cesspool. I cannot tell people how much it means to me when I get a phone call from like people like the Copperhead.
Well, was the Copperhead, was he at the American Renaissance meeting?
He must have been. I think he said he was leaving Arkansas. You know how crappy my phone is. I'm going to break down and get a real good one, a real phone. I have this flip-top phone, folks. And, hey, it answers phone calls if you're not more than 100 feet away from one of those towers. You know, it's kind of like these things we had when I was a kid. You keep these aluminum cans and you hook a kite string on it, and somebody get about 100 feet away. You're supposed to hear through the string, but actually we're really hearing each other just, you know, holler. That's how my phone is, man. But it's pretty crappy. But I tell you what, I had the most enjoyment from that marathon today. And I don't want to make me seem great, but I was amazed at how well I did because people were falling out, and I don't think they ran smart, you know, because of the heat. And I had excellent. I had the best coaches in the world. The best coaches in the world. It's so even if you're an old poot like me with great coaching and training, and James knows how hard I have trained. I trained through the coldest days of this year. I mean, so cold, I wanted to quit several times. My face actually froze in my left hand. I had to go in the breakaway run to thaw out my hands, man.
Pappy, we might have to pick this up next week. I just want to tell you I love you. We're out of time tonight as far as the show goes, but I love you. I'm proud of you. Congratulations on completing another 26.2-mile run, and I'm glad you made it back home to Memphis safe. We'll see you here next week with everybody else here on the Political Cesspool Radio program. I'm James Edwards, everybody. God bless y'all, too. Good night.